Back here, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, a national champion many times over, a Super Bowl champ, and receiving the Tom Osborne Legacy Award this year at the Outland Banquet, the one and only Barry Switzer back with us. Coach, excited to have you back in Nebraska this week. How are you?
Well, I'm excited about coming, too. I feel pretty good, good health. And how's the weather like? What's the weather up there?
You're going to need your Eisenhower beaver jacket.
Okay, well, I got a couple of them, a coyote and my beaver. No, I'm serious, it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. Let me pull up the forecast real quick for you here, but it's 33 in Lincoln now.
Okay, yeah, so, I need to wear a warm suit and top coat, I guess.
Tomorrow about 35, yeah. I think, but by nighttime about probably low 20s.
Okay, all right, good. I'll keep that in mind.
Coach, who's all coming up with you to Nebraska?
I am bringing a bunch of my ex-players with me, and I think you know most of them, Billy Sims and Thomas Lott, Joe Washington, Victor Hicks, of course, Greg Roberts, an Outland Award winner, is being honored again, and we'll all be, my contingent will be all ready to come and ready to play. And they're looking forward to it. They always enjoy going up to Nebraska and as much as I do.
Well, yeah, you're going to bring back some bad memories with those guys
well,
you missed it off.
No, not necessarily. I mean, 78 was our worst memory.
Yeah.
Losing up there. That game there was the one that haunts me more than any other game in my series with Nebraska. But anyway, we always like to come with the Nebraska fans. I always enjoyed them. But I guess it all went back to when I was an assistant coach and getting to know Bob Devaney and all his staff. And we had the great group of guys on both staffs, and they all had a good respect, healthy respect, mutual respect for each other.
When you catch up with Coach Osborne pregame or even off season, you guys had talked football, but what else would you talk about?
Chris, because can you cut this down? I got dogs. Oh, my dogs went nuts. Someone came to the door.
I'll hold on for you.
Yeah, Chris, I'm sorry.
Coach, tell me a little bit about your friendship, how it's developed over the years with Coach Osborne.
Well, you know, obviously we both were named head coach the same year in 1973. Tom was the offensive coordinator for Nebraska, and I was the offensive coordinator for Oklahoma. And 1973, we both became the head coaches, and we had all known each other as assistant coaches. I was probably knew the Kiffin and Warren Powers, those guys, probably a lot better than I did Tom. I fraternized and socialized with those guys a little bit better because, you know, they were more up. They hung out in the same bars I hung out at coaching clinics and all. But Tom was, we know what Tom's lifestyle is, and I admire him for it. And I always respected him and had tremendous respect for his not offensive talents and ability, but also his personal life. And we're all wired up differently. We all get it done differently. And I've always said that Tom Osborne is the one guy that had done so much in football for 25 years. No one has ever been able to accomplish anything what he has done. And that truly is, no one has even come close to doing what he did in 25 years of college football. No one was on his way as maybe Saban, but he got a long way to go to be able to be as good as Osborne was.
What made Tom so, I mean, Nebraska fans know, but from your standpoint, from a peer standpoint, what made him so great? What made him so difficult to prepare for?
Well, first of all, they had a good program, great program. They recruited good players. They had good players. They were coached well. I believed in his philosophy. Oklahoma and Nebraska were very much alike in the fact that we both ran the football, believed in great defense first and a great running game, and play action pass third. And we both did that, and we both did it well. But to Tom, in the 90s, at the first 2 years, you know, obviously Tom's quarterbacks were not like ours. One area that we were different was obviously the option game. And once in the 90s, Tom implemented the option game. Mm-hmm. And not only did they have the great north-south running game with an eye back, but they became, with the Frazier, a great option team. And when you had to defend a great rushing game that can come at you, and all of a sudden you got to defend the perimeter of your damn defense with the option game, you have got a great offensive playbook. And that's what he won three national championships with, doing because it was entirely different from offensive philosophy than an offensive formation than he had when he was in the 70s and 80s.
Coach, I want to talk about how you were able to kind of emulate calm, confidence. You guys were always cool. You played loose. And that's kind of the image I have of you in big games. Is that something you always had or did it develop over time?
No, I think it's what we always were. I've never been any different from the time I started coaching until today. I haven't changed any in the way I go about things and philosophy. I always enjoy it. I try to have a good time every day. I go out to practice. I want people around me with smiles on their faces. I want them laughing. I want them having a good time. And still, at the same time, when it's time to go to work, we go to work. We know what's expected of us, and we know how to work. We line it up to kick off to play 60 minutes a game. We're going to be a disciplined football team. We might be having fun and goofing around a little bit and playing touch football or listening to boom boxes or whatever that were in that era. But, hey, we were a very disciplined football team when we played, and so that doesn't reflect on one how you appear versus how you perform. And they're two different things, and I think people that played this office found that out very quickly. We always had good players. It wasn't something Oklahoma, they were snake bit or Sooner Magic and all this kind of stuff. We had good players. Good players make magic things happen. Big players make big plays and big games. And I had guys that do it, and he had guys that would do it. And a lot of times I think people didn't give Oklahoma the credit for having outstanding talent that we had. We had some great players play here, and not in every position. But we had our run of them, and special players, and they that's why we won. It wasn't my coaching style, you know. And Tom, when he had the upper hand, when he had the triplets in the early 80s, I wasn't quite as good, and he had the upper hand during that period, and they proved it. And Tom should have had another national championship. I was sitting there that night and said, damn it, kick the extra point, Tom. You win the national championship if you do.
So you
win it.
You
win
it
the game one. You're going to come out of a win or tie. You're going to be national champion. And I hate to see him go for the two, and I understand it. But he would have had four of them if he'd done that.
So, Coach, you would have kicked the extra point, huh?
Well, hell, it makes sense. You win or tie gets you a national championship. I've gone into games against Nebraska where the tie, you know, all I got to do is tie, and I'm a Big 8 champion.
Okay.
And so, and our goal is to win the championship, and you accomplish your gold. It's not just that sometimes, you know, you think about what is your goal, what are you trying to accomplish? So if losing the game, you lose the game and you lose the championship, but you have an opportunity with an extra point kick to win a championship, you do that. Or, in this case, you win a national championship because you're certainly going number one. You're not going to come out of it two if you kick the extra point and tie the game.
Barry Switzer with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I got to ask you about the Twitter storm you created in December about visiting Trump Tower. I gotta ask you: is there
fake news? I created some fake news.
Right. So my question is there a day? Yeah. Is there a day where President-elect Trump will be sitting with you on Coach's Cabana during a game?
Yeah, maybe. Our Secretary of Offense. We're gonna make the wishbone great again, baby. That's what we're gonna do. I'm in charge of the running game.
I know. How well do you know Donald? How well do you know Donald Trump?
I met Donald Trump 20-something years ago in Las Vegas. William Morrow and company both published a book. He had that book coming out. We were both in Vegas together 22 years ago when Bootlegger's Boy came out. It's been longer ago than that. It's 1990 Bootlegger's Boy came out. So what's that, 27 years ago or whatever it had been? And we were in Vegas. I had an opportunity to visit with him, talk to him, and I think we went to dinner that evening with the publisher of William Morrow and Company and his staff. And then I've been around Trump a couple of times. We had a fundraiser here for him in Norman, Oklahoma for the Ohio State game. Harold Hamm is a good friend of mine. Harold Hamm is our Warren Buffett, and Obviously, I'm talking in regard to a wealthy individual in our state, probably but one time. Anytime oil goes up a few dollars a barrel, it's about worth about $20 billion to his net worth. I mean, about $2 or $3 billion to his net worth. But he owns 67% of Continental Resources, and at one time he's $22 billion. Mm-hmm. And he's working his way back that way. But Harold's a good friend, and he asked us to have here on campus. Well, I live on the campus university, and he knew all the big donors were going to be here for the Ohio State game, and he wanted something here done here in Norman that day. And so we allowed that to happen here, and it was kind of interesting. The Secret Service coming to my house and put snipers in my bedroom overlooking my daughter's home across the street. I thought it was a damn movie. It looked like one of those damn movies you see. The guys come in their camouflage outfits, sniper rifles, two in each bedroom overlooking my daughter's house across the street.
Well, did they knock or did they just kind of come in?
Oh, no. The Secret Service had been here all week talking to us. We knew that they were going to be all around and what streets would be roped off and who would be allowed and all that and the guests and all that. About 350 people came to my daughter's house. And
wow.
They wanted to have it here first, but I said, no, let's have it over across the street, my daughter's house. But we still had the protesters across the street, the campus and all. But it was, fun and games, and for me, I just laughed and go on about my business. But Donald was here. We had a chance to visit, and Harold Hamm, obviously, is interested in obviously the energy business and being the restrictions and things that have affected his business. And Trump's against, we want energy independence, and that's what it was all about in his support of him.
Coach, got to ask you before we say goodbye, we are so thankful to have you in Nebraska this week for the Tom Osborne Legacy Award at the Outland Dinner in Omaha. Coach Devaney and you spent a lot of time together. You had good times. You had a great friendship. When you were in Nebraska and you get together with Coach Devaney, what were some of the places you'd guys go? What were some of your favorite social
outings? Well, it depends on where we were. If we were in Kansas City, we went to different places for dinner. And Tom and, we like to drink a bottle of wine. We like to have a good time together. We like to talk, and we're both very approachable, both outgoing, I've always enjoyed being with Bob. Bob always saw me and yelled at me and would come see me. Win or lose, Bob Devaney, always when he was the AD, he and Fox would always come to see me and visit with me after the ball game. I'll never forget one of the last times I talked to Bob. He came in my locker room, and I was in the shower. I was laughing and carrying on, coming out in Nebraska, just beat our butt in 1988, and here in Norman. And I come out, the 7-3 ball game or something like that. We remember broke Charles Thompson's leg in the first quarter, I think, and I lost my quarterback, and Jamel was already hurt. So, anyway, what happens is that he's sitting there with Fox and Don Bryant, and I was drying off, and he said, "Well, I thought I'd come into the losers' locker room. Hell, the way you're acting, I thought I'd come into the winners' locker room." And I looked at John. I said, "You are in the winners' locker room." I said, "But what do you mean?" He says, "I am so damn glad that I don't have to go play those damn Miami Hurricanes again. Let's see how you guys do against them. They beat my butt 3 times. See how y'all do. Well, y'all didn't do any better than we did in that game in the Orange Bowl." But so in a way, I was the winner in that ball game. I didn't have to go play them again.
Didn't end well for Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. Coach.
No, I know that. We neither one of us handled those guys very good, and they were a great football program at that time.
Coach, what did you think of the championship game last night?
I think 90% of the country are glad that it came out that way. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I haven't obviously polled them, but I think that a lot of people wanted to see the underdog, and Clemson played them great last year and would like to see Watson, who's a class quarterback, who's had a great career, graduated in 3 years. I did not know till today that he was coming out and that he's just a junior. I thought he was a senior, but I was surprised by that. But I felt like that it was proved to me, you know, Alabama is one with great defense in the running game, but when it had to come down for them to have to throw the football to win, you know, they didn't get it done. They've been able to throw the football when they've dominated games and run it with play action passes and all, but when it came down to, and Clemson was good enough to one, two, three and out, two or three times at second half, which made it, that them get the ball more snaps, and obviously get the 99 snaps that they have because of that. And, Alabama couldn't move the ball, and, you got to give Clemson's defense the credit up. That was a part they had to do, but Alabama just couldn't get it done when they had to have it throwing the football.
No, they were one-dimensional, and it really struggled. Coach, we're looking forward to see you, and thanks so much for the time. As always, we love catching up with you.
All right, take care, Chris. Bye-bye.